Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be done in an hour.
That'll be the name of this episode. I want to be done in an hour. Welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode
56.
Ah, 56. How you guys doing?
Is it 56 or 57?
It's 56. It's 56. Because I write them down. I write it down as we write. As we go, I write the title and the show notes and the links in a notepad.
You pay attention to that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I get the $1,000 Patreon money. Mm-hmm. Goes
You're
right into my bank
from
account.
Us.
Yeah, that's right. You guys don't realize we have 37 high-level patrons.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty great. It's a really great fraternity of gentlemen and women in that group. And they get access to some really unbelievable content. I mean, if I do say so myself. And I think that the value, I really think that we're the ones losing out on the incredible value that they get.
Maybe
so if you go on Patreon.com, if you go on Patreon.com/handmade podcast, you could find out. Yeah. You know, you could find out what you're missing. So what do you guys been up to?
Paul, you go first.
Anything good?
Not making anything over the weekend. Just kind of.
You're not making anything?
No, I was working today, but over the weekend I just kind of hung out. Went to a concert at the new amphitheater in Bridgeport, which is actually pretty cool. And I broke.
Did you get stabbed outside?
No, they had cops everywhere. Yeah, they have
when they bring
to.
In like a nice venue to a shitty area, there's always that like that little bit
they're
of
they're guarding
like,
that thing like Fort Knox.
Go.
Otherwise no one would come. But it's pretty cool. It's like it's brand new. They used to have like a minor league baseball team there and they were terrible, so they just got rid of them. And they took
that
the stadium
a waste of time.
And they modified the whole stadium. Put this whole like tent structure around it. I guess if it's raining you could still have shows and stuff. It's really cool. There's like food trucks and like a beer garden and different food vendors and it's nice.
Yeah, did you see that crazy one out in the desert?
No.
The Red Rocks?
Yeah. Oh, Red Rocks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah that's fucking crazy.
It's like a natural amphitheater.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well,
I've been there.
About,
it's very cool.
Is it really?
You can just go there when there's not a show. You can just go there. People go and like work out there and like
run
up and down
the
steps.
Yeah.
There's actually a really cool hiking trail that goes like in the mountains behind it, so you
Wait,
can walk
it?
On the trail.
Colorado?
It's in Colorado.
Okay.
It's in Colorado Springs. It's like
That's
45
cool.
minutes outside of Denver.
It's not in Malden. I knew that.
No.
It's definitely not in Malden.
No.
Malden does not have the Red Rocks.
Yeah,
we're it has
we got
the train
Mountain.
Station.
We got Wait
yeah,
Mountain.
But that's not in Malden either.
No, it is. It's just not look Red Rocks. It's just a little mountain. It's kind of like a hill.
Oh, okay.
They call it Wait Mountain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you summited it? Have you gone to the summit?
With my car. I drive up there.
Interesting.
And just park.
When you get to the top, is there a little store that sells stickers, like when you go to Mount Washington, that says, like, I made it to the top with the elevation? And it's like 152 feet above sea level or something like that?
No. But I should sell those up there.
I should make stickers for my shop that say, I made it to make everything 6 feet below sea level.
Yeah exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's negative 10.
Good. That'd be good.
Negative 10. Oh, God.
You
have you guys seen...
We got another hurricane coming this way?
I was just going to say, have you guys seen any of the videos from New Orleans
over
the last couple days? I just watched one the other day. Not the other day. This morning. It was all these security cameras, and it was the morning. It was yesterday morning and then yesterday afternoon. And, like,
the water level.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, and they're all at like firehouses and stuff. And I mean, they must be prepared. Like, their firehouses have to be like, you know, with big like floodgates and stuff, but I mean the water level is 8 to 10 feet in some of these places. I mean, just baffling.
I had seen like the tail end of one of those stories, and I was like, man, somebody's gonna trip over that wire. And it was Bob Wire. It was the top of the Bob Wire fence.
God.
Like it, because it was like doing the before and after. It was doing a bunch of them. And it was just literally the wire, the top of the barbed wire. I was like,
oh, my
God, the water was 8 feet high.
Yeah.
I was like, that just got to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at this is the one I looked at earlier, and it shows exactly like a six-foot fence, and it's like you see the grass at 10 a.m., and then at 11:50, you don't see the grass anymore. It's all just, it's gone. The whole fence is completely, and when I saw these videos, I literally had the thought of my shop with that much water in it. Like, you know, waist height water in the shop, and just think about like the total loss that would occur in that moment, you know, like, and I mean, my space, I don't think like physically could get to that point. Like the rain, it would literally have to rain for like a week straight to get that much water.
It would have to rain,
you know,
3 feet.
It would have to rain 3 feet. Exactly. Cause like you don't get, this is all storm surge water. You know, this is like the levee can't handle it or whatever, but it's crazy. It's really wild. I'll put the video in the description.
I don't know who decided to make the city under sea level. It's like, hey, let's put the city right here under the level of the ocean. It's always going to flood every couple of years forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I did with my shop. Let's put the shop below
that's
sea level.
True.
But I tell you, a couple of weeks ago when it rained here like that, my street flooded and like, it's totally flat, like, around my neighborhood. And I was like, I never thought my street would flood, and it flooded. And I was like, wow. I mean, it only went up to the curb. It's like 6 inches. But I didn't think it was physically possible for my neighborhood to get like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it started to, but then it stopped.
Yeah, it's funny. Right before that hurricane hit New Orleans, I was on that website, woot.com. I don't know if you guys have ever used that, but it's like a daily deal kind of website. And they had a deal on like, these kind of like strangely shaped, these tarps. It was like a 5-pack of tarps that were 6 by 10, which is kind of like a weird size. But then I ordered them because they were like pretty cheap. And I was like, I always use them for cover material and stuff, and they're just good to have. So then I saw some videos and photos from New Orleans, and what I saw a lot of people doing was they had like polypropylene nailed to the side of their building, and then that ran down, and then they had their sandbags on top of that, so that I guess as the water comes up, the sandbags are holding down the plastic, and the plastic becomes the barrier so that the water can't get, you know, in, because once the water goes over the sandbags, you're done, right?
Mm.
So that's what happened to me the last time it flooded really bad, was the water was so high outside, it went over the top of the sandbags, and I didn't have the big new pump, so I couldn't get that water out. I just had to wait for it to go down. So now that I got these other tarps, and hopefully they come before we get the remnants of that storm, which by the time this podcast comes out, we'll be about to get it. We're supposed to get 5 inches of rain on Thursday. I'm going to try and do that, and just, you know, hopefully between that and the pump, the three pumps and the sandbags, it'll all just be okay. So
it's amazing how the sandbags hold back the water.
That's what I was about to say.
They really work.
I know they do. It just
so when they get wet, they like, you're supposed to put them down dry and then like kind of compact them. There's actually an army. I looked this up last year. The Army Corps of Engineers has a guideline on how to properly stack sandbags so that they hold back water. There's actually like there's a method to how you're supposed to do it. And the Army Corps of Engineers has like a pamphlet that I guess during these types of, emergencies, they probably like give to people. But you need so many sandbags in order to do it like correctly, because it has to be a pyramid. And there has to be basically so much redundancy that there's no gaps. But if it's done correctly, it can hold back, I mean, as high as the wall of sandbags is. It can hold back that much water, you know? So the way I have it is not ideal, but it 100% keeps the water at bay. And now I've got the fucking 2x4 on its side glued to the floor. Do you guys see that?
Mm-mm.
Inside the wood shop, I've got a 2x4 on its side glued to the floor with silicone. so that when the water gets in the wood shop, I at least have it like collected in a pool, and then I've got a pump that pumps it out.
Oh god,
it sucks. I called about another building today. There's another building for sale in my town that I've always wanted to buy, and I called about it today. So,
how much are stories? Maybe they'll just give it to you,
dude.
Maybe,
seriously,
like, this guy's got some problems.
You know, so that was like this other building that my friend's uncle owns that I had wanted to buy, that he had like, he was holding the note on. It would have been like a perfect building. And I went to him basically with that. I was like, dude, like, I need fucking help here. Like, I was like, I you know, I want to buy your building. And he like knows me, you know, and no, he, unfortunately, it's not his to sell because he only holds the note.
Yeah.
But technically the owner is the guy paying him, even though they haven't been paying. So, you know, it's not really his to sell unless he fully foreclosed on the current owner, you know, then he could do it. But, so there's not really anything he could do. He's like, I would love to sell it to you, but, you know, it's like, it sucks.
Yeah.
Would have been a cool, situation. And he sold it so cheap. It would have been like, oh, it would have been such a score. But maybe this other one will work out. I don't know. I always believe, like, the right thing comes eventually.
Yeah, everything
happens
for a reason. And sometimes you just got to wait. Be patient, you know?
I've been waiting. I'm on year number five, dude.
Mm.
Year number five in that 50, shop.
50 floods later.
Seriously, 50
probably
floods.
It's got to be at least 50 times you've had to,
I probably had 50 times where I've been, like, ready to throw up because I'm so stressed out about the water. That's for sure. Worst part is the anticipation is the worst. It's the like, oh shit, like, you know, how are we going to do this week is just like the worst feeling. Cause that's exactly how I feel right now. I'm basically like, you know, I had plans to do something for work on Thursday and we canceled them anyway, but like, you know, I can't do anything. I can't be out of town because if we get this crazy storm and I'm not around, who's going to manage it? Like, you know, who's going to be there?
How long were you in the shop before it flooded for the first time?
Dude, you know what's crazy is, so when I first moved in there, I didn't know that it ever had flooded.
He was in a boat and he flooded into the shop.
So,
that's how he found it.
This is, I've been slowly for 5 years, slowly working on a video about me building out that shop. Because when I first moved in, I filmed like everything I did there before I had a YouTube channel. I filmed it all with a GoPro and I have time lapses of all this stuff. And videos and clips, and I just never put it together. But so when I moved in there, it had been vacant for 8 years.
Wow.
I get the lease.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, right? So I get it, and the driveway at that point was like mud. I have photos of it. It wasn't gravel the way it is now. It was like basically all mud and dirt. But, you know, I was like, whatever, it looks fine. I went in there, and it was dry inside, or felt dry. So I started power washing. You know, I got all the dirt off the floors. I started dry locking the walls. Then we got like a crazy, my lease took hold on July 1st, but I got access like June 15th, and we got one of those crazy summer storms, and I went in, and the whole inside of the metal shop was fucking soaked, and I was like, and all this dirt had washed in, and I was like, oh my god, like, what am I going to do? So I called my landlord, and he's like, I don't know, I'm not aware of any water issues there. And
kid,
I hadn't
you
even...
Kid, you ever hear of a 100-year flood? Don't worry about it.
I hadn't even gotten into my first month yet.
Wow.
Hadn't even gotten into my first month yet. And I was like, holy shit. So I was like... So I kept messing with it. And then we found the catch basin that I currently use as the drain. Mm-hmm. And in it was a pump. And in there was a cord that went into the building, and I couldn't figure out where all this went to because there was so much mud outside you couldn't like tell. So there was no power, there was no electric at the space.
A note tied to the cord,
right?
That said leave now.
Yeah, and it had a piggyback switch on it, you know, like the plug with the plug on it for the pump. So and I didn't know who the last tenant was, so there was nothing I could do. And so I dug it out, and it was this little catch basin. It was like a foot wide. It was this tiny little cap. And I dug it out. It was filled with mud. I dredged it out, all that shit. And I got that working. Then it rained hard again. It flooded again. And I was like, I called the landlord and was like, dude, you got to do something about this. So he spent like $6,000 or $7,000 having all that sludge like I had a company come in and do it, but he paid for it. All the sludge got taken out, and then they put in like a 65 or an 80 gallon new concrete catch basin, but not like a real dry well, still pretty small. And you know, they fixed the pipe that was into it, and then I went and like reconnected the pump and, you know, made sure everything worked. And then I had those little tiny flood barriers, the ones that are like 3 inches, they're black and they expand when they get wet. First I used just those for like the first season, thinking like, oh, if we get a heavy rain, like at least I have these. And then like after the first summer, I don't think I got any more floods, but I was building it out from June till October the first summer. And then the second summer was when it started to like have those bad floods where like the metal shop, I'd come in and the metal shop would have, you know, completely filled with water.
Does everything and, just completely rust and get all humid? Like,
oh yeah. Well, I have two dehumidifiers in the shop that are constantly running.
Wow.
Always. They've always been there. It still doesn't do enough for the humidity stuff. Definitely like surface rust in my space, but that's just kind of the nature of it. But I dry locked all the exterior walls that are below grade before I moved anything in. I did so much work. I worked for months to get that shop like ready.
I like that shop. It's a shame. I like the look of it and everything. It really is. It's really cool. It's
just, when they shot the TV commercial there and you get the like the golden hour light comes in from the west. In the evening, it'll come in through the windows. It's gorgeous in there. You get like this amazing light, and it's like so bright you could turn off all the lights and still see everything that's going on. And it's got those big windows, and it's so secluded. Like, if that was your
property, could it be regraded and stuff like to take care of the water? Or
totally,
I mean, I know it's not yours, but like, I mean, could it be dealt with, or is it like just one of those things that it's just always going to flood because it's. Because that's like how the Youngs, their place is. They're right next to a river, and their basement's kind of like, it's kind of like a pit. And I can't picture it. They have like 2 feet of water in the basement of their building. But it's kind of like, I don't know if that, I mean, I don't think it's supposed to be like that. But it doesn't look like, oh shit, you got water in your basement. It's kind of like how it is there.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's like my basement. Like if my basement got water, it's like that's how they were. They just dug out basements. So like they're not, you know, waterproof basements. It happens, you know. But it's just too bad yours is like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of people about it, and I think that a lot of it is just the age of the septic system. There's probably just so much sludge and shit in the bottom. The problem is, without like. You really need to get in there and dig the first couple feet of dirt out and find where all the rings are. And then there's one other location, which is like, you know, where I keep my trailer, like kind of like in that parking spot. Yeah. If you dug that out as deep as you could go and put like 4 rings right there and pitched all the water to that, you could probably manage all of the water to an extent. But the problem is the water, when it comes down so fast. That I don't know what size grill could even take. Like, the water still has to move, you know? Like, you could have all the ground preparations in the world. But if the hole is only, you know, 30 inches wide and you have to funnel 10,000 gallons, 100,000 gallons of water into it, it's still only going to move so fast. So that's why, like I think that the pump setup, like the idea of using pumps the way that I do, I think is actually pretty good. Because it puts the water where it needs to go, which is outside of my space, you know? And I think that, like, if I had to do it, if I could do it myself and do it again, I would put a super, super deep well, as deep as I could possibly go, and I would still have an emergency catch basin with a pump that evacuated out to the street for that moment. But, you know, there's a lot of ways that you could invest that money differently. Like, you ever seen those aluminum flood barriers where it's like an aluminum plate and it goes like in front of a door? There's a rubber gasket that gets installed
like
around the door.
English Channel, those ones, like,
yeah. So like when we used to build big house on Long Island, right, if you'd put a basement staircase, you'd put a like a flood barrier at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And the one of the last houses we did had like a 42-inch door into the basement, like a huge fucking door. And we bought a flood barrier, so it was heavy-duty aluminum C-channel. It was really deep. It was like 2 inches deep, but only maybe like 3/4 of an inch wide. and it had a rubber gasket inside it, and it had like 40 thumb screws on each side, and then thumb screws along the bottom that you could take out so they wouldn't get like broken off. And then it had a half inch thick aluminum plate that slid inside the C-channel. And the idea was that if you were expecting heavy rain, you would put it in and you tighten down all the thumb screws and it would create a watertight barrier out of that. So like before you went ahead and spent $75,000 in excavating that driveway, you could probably spend $12,000 and get those aluminum barriers 3 feet high and never get another drop of water inside that trap.
I was about to say, why don't you just you could have like a concrete, like a foundation, like forms put up and make a wall in front of the entire thing with openings where the doors are, and then just make like a removable barrier.
Yeah.
Like dig down like a couple feet and put forms up and make like a 2 foot high wall or along the entire building. And then
I mean, dude, I've thought about pouring. Yeah, I thought about I was gonna buy like parking blockers, you know, like for a parking lot.
Yeah.
And I was like literally just gonna cement, like the small ones, like you know the ones that are like this high.
Those ones.
Like a parking block, whatever you want to call it. And they make ones that are flat on the bottom. I literally was just gonna cement those in along the three center doors. And then if I ever needed to bring a big machine in, I would just break them out, you know, like. But now what I think I'm going to do is basically what I did with the 2x4, and I'm just going to take like 2x12 and I'm just going to silicone it down inside the doors in the metal shop that I very rarely open. I'm just going to glue a fucking piece of wood down, and then on the rare occasion, whatever it is, once a year that I open those doors to bring in a machine, I'll just rip the glue out and I'll glue it back in, you know. And it's such a small cost, you know. It's like, what's it going to cost me, like $200 in like silicone and 2x12? Like, why not? Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know, it sucks.
When I moved into this house, I was getting water. It was coming in through my back door. So my driveway was pitched back, and then the back of the house was pitched towards the house. So I had the driveway all done over. I had it pitched to my neighbors, and I had like the whole thing dug out and ball stone put in there and a drain. And then I told the guy, I said, I want this like 6 feet up high. You know, he goes, it's going to cover your door. I was like, don't worry about it. So I did that. I freaking screwed the door shut, got a sawzall. I cut it flush at the ground level. So when you're inside my basement, my door's like 6 or 7 inches smaller. And the door's there. And that's the old, like, you know, was the old level.
But
I was like, screw it, man. I don't want the water coming in anymore. I don't give a shit. I'll make the troll door a little bit more smaller, you know.
I mean, seriously, that's basically what I deal with now. I have to walk over sandbags every time I go into my shop. You know, it's like, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be here forever. And if I did wind up owning the business, right? If I did wind up owning the building, I would, you know, I would try to incrementally, like, reinvest into it. But like to put another, I spent over $1,000 on that pump setup that I got, that new pump.
That guy wants too much for that building. You gotta wait till he dies much. And his kids just sell it cheap or something.
Yeah, or they list it for like $8 million because they think it's like, you know,
like modern loft apartments in there.
Good luck. The second I get wind of somebody wanting to sell that to someone other than me is the day that I stop paying my rent and I start putting that money into a piggy bank so that when I'm ready to move, I have the cash. You know, like it's too hard to evict somebody. For me to get out, for me to go quietly. When I first moved in there, this is how like clueless my landlord was. So me and my friend Mike, we had just finished like wiring the whole shop. He'd been working on it for months, and he shows up one day, my landlord, because I didn't have a bathroom when I first moved in there, because my bathroom is all the way in the machine shop. And so when I needed to use the bathroom, you'd have to go upstairs to the tenant upstairs. So my landlord walks in one day. He goes, "You want a bathroom in your shop?" I go, "Yeah, why? Is the flower shop lady moving out?" He goes, "No, I'm going to evict the guy across the driveway." He goes, "You could just move your whole shop over into there. You said you wanted that space anyway."
Oh my God.
And I literally turned around and like went like pointed to him. I go, "Dude, I've been working in here for 3 months. I've been fixing this place. And now you're just like, oh, why don't you just move?" You know? So my friend who did the electric, he goes, "Dude, what's going to happen if he evicts you?" I said, "Mike, we will literally take every piece of conduit, every scrap of wire, every piece of copper. There won't be a thing left. if this if the landlord ever decided, because at that point I didn't know the guy, I didn't know if he was ever going to try to screw me or if after a year he was going to triple my rent because he knew how much money I put into it, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a good guy. He really is, like, and I've gone to know him.
He's a listener. We really appreciate you.
But you know, like, and one time, you know what made me realize what kind of person he was. One of the other tenants wasn't paying their rent, and he asked me if I had seen the guy, and I said no, because I wasn't going to rat on the guy, but I was like, nah, I haven't seen him. He goes, you know, he hasn't paid me his rent in like 5 months.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's terrible. And he goes, listen, I was 2 days away from bankruptcy. He goes, I was 2 days away from losing everything. He goes, and we got a big job and it saved my business, changed my life. He goes, I know what it's like to not have enough money to pay your rent. He goes, I would never kick anyone out if they communicated with me and they told me their situation. He goes, I would never do that to someone. I've been there. And, you know, he's a extremely successful entrepreneur who started his own company and, you know, has made millions of dollars. And his big beef with this other tenant was that the guy's just ducking his calls for 5 months. And when he said that to me, and, like, he was genuine. Like, he was looking me right in the face when he was like, I would never do that to someone. And I was like, wow, like, you know, a lot of landlords would just say, fuck you and call the lawyer, you know, after the first month, not wait 5 months. But, you know, it's a shame that some people take advantage of people that are that.
Well, that's,
you know,
it's funny you said that, because I've been here 25 years and I have a 2-family and I've never raised my rent, not once, on a tenant. And never, ever, except my last tenant, because I couldn't stand them. And, I mean, they were, like, as clean as could be, spotless, but they were just, like, assholes. They just complained about everything, you know? And, I raised their rent $50 after 4 years, you know? And they had moved into, like, a brand-new apartment. And I just always felt like, you know, and she used to, like, lie to me all the time about, like, the rent. She'd be like, oh, I left it on the mailbox. You didn't get it? I'd be like, no. And they... I felt like saying, dummy, like, I have cameras. Like, I know you didn't leave it in the mailbox. And then finally, like, I was straight with that. I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit, like, if you don't have the money. Just, like, tell me, you know, because it was like, you know, I've paid my bills late. I've had months where I didn't have enough to pay my bills. Like, I know, like, that guy, like, I know how it is.
Yep.
I would never embarrass somebody or make it a big deal. But it's like, don't lie to me, you know?
Yeah.
And thank God they literally moved out. I mean, you guys know, right before COVID, and, you know, Massachusetts, they're still letting everybody live, you know, without paying their rent, and
yep.
you can't kick them out, and you're not getting relief. Like, I would be screwed.
What are the what are they doing for landlords?
Nothing.
Like,
nothing.
How is that even possible?
Dude,
about it.
People are living
and
in
people,
their cars because
yeah.
their tenants aren't paying their
yeah.
rents, and they can't
people
afford their own
their
rent.
That's so insane.
I know.
It's disgusting.
There's no relief for landlords.
Everybody, not to get political, but everybody's yeah. back to work. Employers can't find anybody to work. Like,
it ends this week or next week. So thank God, because
it's too
Massachusetts,
much.
Everybody's still on. I mean, like I said, I knew somebody that had a house that they had a firefighter that rented from them, and he wasn't paying. It's like, dude, you didn't lose your job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing. Somebody lost their job or whatever. You don't want to see anybody, you know, out on the street or whatever. But it's like, especially if you're getting paid or whatever, it's like, why would you do that to somebody? It's like, you know, they got bills too. It's not like, you know, I
just
own
35
houses.
Just because you're a landlord doesn't mean you're a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Well,
and can afford
I am,
it.
But most aren't, you know. My kids will vouch for me how much money I have. Because they all think I'm rich. But
everybody
yeah,
knows
no,
you're
it's
rich.
Just,
come
it's
on, you're
crazy.
Derek from all then.
Yeah. Yeah, big deal. It's funny, when I dropped him off at school, we had gone around the parking lot, and they must have noticed my truck or whatever. We're walking by, and I'm with Christina and the kids, and guy goes, these two guys talking, hey, look, it's the Maker. And they're like, huh, you know who my husband is? It's Christina. She goes, no, I seen his license plate. I was like, good eye. but I thought it was a big deal for a minute.
I mean, you could be.
Yeah,
you
someday.
You got to tell everybody that you're a big deal. That's
yeah.
all that matters, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Anybody making anything or anything like that? Or
I made
really.
My wedding band. I feel like I talked about that last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we
did.
Did
I?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I finished it because I made it and I did like a kind of a shitty job on the inside. So I
oh, good.
It. Well, no, the first time I finished it, it wasn't so great, and then I actually forgot I couldn't think. I don't know why I was worried about over grinding the inside. Mm-hmm. Like, I was worried I was going to make it too big. And then I watched a Patrick Adair video, and I saw the way they, like, clean up the inside of their rings is they chuck them in the lathe, and then they use a Dremel to, like, grind the inside. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why I was so timid to, like, over-grind the inside. I didn't want to make it too big. I didn't want to, like, you know, once you overdo it, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So after I saw that video, I was like, huh. So I did exactly that. I put it in the lathe. I used my little Faird, like, poly cap, and I ground it. And it totally made it, like, made it so much better. Because I was trying to hand – I had, you know, sandpaper on the tip of my finger, and I was going this.
You idiot.
You know, and it's titanium. Yeah. So it's, like, it's just, like, laughing at the sandpaper. Yeah. It's basically just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it. I'm working on that. I don't know.
I feel like wearing a ring every day would drive me crazy.
I can't. I can't wear it for more than, like, 20 minutes. I'm already, like... Yeah. And Angela knows that. There's no illusions. You know, it's kind of... It's kind of, it, you know, no one's expecting me to wear it, but...
Yeah, I never liked... Like, any kind of jewelry always made me nuts like that.
Yeah.
Just always... Fingers, too, just make me crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody grabbing my fingers.
I would like a nice watch to wear when you go out to dinner or something.
Yeah.
But other than that, I never wear anything, like, on my wrists or any, I never wore a ring, like, ever. I don't know why I would ever.
You working on any railings, Paul, or anything?
I was just working on some today.
Yeah. Stainless?
Yeah, we finally got, the cable we ordered. We get this, it's like Jacob is the company. It's like this German... like a cable rail manufacturer, and all of the cable that we ordered in the fittings got, like, stuck in Kentucky for some reason. Like, that's the hub, like the UPS hub, and they were just sitting there. They had some sort of, like, problem, like UPS did. They were sitting there for, like, over a week or something, and they needed the cables done, so we finally got them and put them in today. So... But they look really good. They're all stainless railings with cables and, like, mahogany top.
Yeah.
So they look really cool.
Nice. Who did... You did the mahogany work yourself?
No. I didn't do that. Someone else... I don't know who they had.
Dude, you got a saw stop?
Yeah, but, I mean, they... I don't know. They... I don't have any of that shit set up.
Yeah, it'd be like more...
It's impossible
more,
to track Fred down. I'm lucky I had him last week.
Too much work. Yeah, where's Fred been? I feel like we haven't seen him in
a
while.
Fred was just on the job. I got stuff that I have that I need Fred to do. I have bathrooms to build and offices to build and, like, a paint room. So that's Fred's next couple of projects. But I had him working, what was it, Thursday and Friday. Different railings at a house in Westport. And this guy, I don't know how he survives, because it was 1,000 degrees. We're beating, like, in direct sunlight. I drank probably 5 bottles of water and a large Gatorade. All he drank the entire day was one little can of Sprite.
Yeah, like
Fred,
an espresso?
I'm like,
that's it?
I'm like, Trey, can you please drink some water or some Gatorade? Like, I don't know what is wrong with him. Like, he just won't eat. He won't drink anything. I'm like, I sent him to go get Gatorades at the gas station down the street because I was dying. He bought 3 big ones. I'm like, Fred, there's 2 humongous Gatorades here. Can you drink one of them? He goes, oh, that stuff makes you thirstier. I'm like, oh my God. I don't know.
I love Fred.
He's an interesting guy. Yeah, he's funny.
That's great, though. You know, you got to have interesting...
Yeah, you got to have characters like that around. My goal
How are the other guys that you have working for you? You got a couple of guys now, right?
Well, yeah, that one son of a bitch freaking he left because he got an offer for 2 months. This is how stupid some people are. He was begging me because he used to work for one of my subs, and then he was really slow, and so he was like texting me all the time, like, I need work. Do you have any work for me? And I'm like, yeah, I have come up, like, because he lives in New York. And he's like, but I don't have a car.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, I mean, like send you a helicopter? Like, I'm like, as soon as you get a car, like, I have work for you. And he finally, it was a whole long, that's a whole nother story, but he got a car somehow. And he came in for like 2 weeks, and he's like, came up to me one day. He's like, I got to talk to you. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. He's like, I got a job to weld pipe in Pennsylvania. And I'm like, he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I'm like, you got to make the decision. Yeah. And he's like, it's for 2 months. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, just so you know, like, just because you go do your little thing for 2 months and think you're going to make, you know, more money. Don't
come, pipeline guy.
Don't come back here in 2 months thinking I'm going to just let you right back in the door, because I'm going to have someone to fill his place, which I already am working on now. We got something else we're working on, but to get a bunch more people in the shop. But
very I don't exciting. Know. Derek, we might have lost Derek. Derek, we can't hear you. Well, now you sound like you're... I can just barely hear you.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got one guy who's the best employee on the face of the earth. And then, like, it's going to be impossible to find another guy like that.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's, you know... That's like, it's like when Matt and Macklin work for me, like, you know, like they don't really like work for me, but like
with you, yeah,
they work with me. Like, who am I going to find to replace Matt's presence on a job?
Yeah, no, Matt is like, Matt's the best.
Yeah.
He's just talented too. Like,
yeah. Well, that's what I say. Like Matt is, like, and with the woodworking, like, Macklin is sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
But, like, Matt is the only person that I could get a job and not even touch it.
Yeah. You
and
know
that I
could,
not, I wouldn't have to do anything. Like, I wouldn't have to change the price. Because I've been on jobs where I've had, like, people come in and I've been like, oh, it's going to be this much to do this. And then someone comes in and, like, subs.
Yeah.
And they do such a shitty job that I'm like, I just reduce the price out of, like, you know, basically, like, sorry, because, like, they suck. But, like, the lion job that we just finished, like, I had so much going on when we were doing that. Like, Matt did, like, more than half that job.
Yeah.
Basically without me there, you know, because I had to, like, I had to go to Florida. I had to, like, do so much stuff for work, so.
Am I back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. But, yeah, anyway, we were talking about employees and how hard it is to find anyone that's worth doing anything.
I bet.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
The hardest.
That's why when I always did work, I just did it myself.
Yep.
It's just a pain in the ass.
Yep. It's the hardest thing to do is find anybody that you can rely on, that you can trust without having to work 1.5 times.
Yeah.
Like, when you have somebody, and I've had people come in where I'm literally basically just doing my job and half of their job.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why am I paying you any amount of money, you know, like, to do this? You know, and I think they know it too, because there's no reason for me to sugarcoat when someone comes in and does a shitty job.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell them, like, you know, or like at the end of the day, I'll be like, yeah, I don't need you anymore on this one. And they'll be like, oh, I thought we had a week's worth of work. And I'll be like, I do, but like, I don't need you on it. you know, like.
That's why I'm always telling Christina. She's like, you know, where she was working part time, they're like moving her around and all this stuff. And I'm like, just apply someplace local. She's like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I was like, you know how to show up every day.
Yeah,
that's
all they give
that's,
a shit
that's
about.
That's
they
most
don't care.
Of it.
You just show up every day. They don't care. You know, it's like that's half the battle. Nobody's responsible. Nobody does what they're supposed to. So
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy how many. So like when I was down in Florida, I was talking to the guys down there, and they were telling me that like people are coming to work and then getting a job offer for $1 more an hour and leaving like the next day. And that like their competitors, you know, their GCs, the competitors that they have down there will find out who's working for them. And then, and like, and because it's a small community, I guess, and they'll find those guys and be like, hey, I heard you're working for so-and-so. What if, like, what's he paying you? Like, oh, he's paying you 20. I'll give you 22.
Yeah.
And the guys will leave. They have no loyalty at all. They don't give a shit. They'll just go. And it's like, wow, you know?
Yeah. That's like with this
but
guy.
That's
it's
what
like,
happens.
This guy is so stupid. He left for a job that is guaranteed to only last 2 months. It's like, what are you going to do after two months is up?
Unless they're paying him so much money.
It was a good amount more money, but
yeah,
it's like, first of all, he lives in New York, nowhere near Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a fire going by.
Dad's cooking again.
Yeah, right.
Dad's barbecuing again.
Yeah, burning the steaks again. Well done.
I don't know.
It's hard to find good people. Like, I have one.
It's the hardest part.
I'm going to hang on to forever, as long as I can, you know?
Yeah. There's a one of the other guys I was talking to in Florida was saying that, like, two of his guys were out with COVID. He went COVID. He said they've been out for 3.5 weeks with COVID.
Yeah.
So he thinks they're just pulling his chain and don't want to work. So this guy, like, runs, like, a pretty large residential construction company. And he, before he could come and meet with me, he had to go home and change because he'd been hanging drywall all day.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have anybody. He's like, I used to do the work myself. So sometimes you have to just go back and do the work yourself again. You know, and it's like, you know, obviously we all deal with that, right? We all have to do our own work. But it's crazy when you have a company of that level and you have those same problems. Mm. You know, I don't know. There's definitely, I think that we have like a real serious skills gap. That dude Mike Rowe always talks about the skill gap.
Yeah.
Because like so few people are talented and have any interest in doing anything. But I think that in like 5 years, it'll be even wider than it is now. And it'll be so much worse.
I don't know what's gonna
happen. For everyone. Because what happens is the skilled labor becomes so specialized and rare that every price goes up across the board and
exactly.
No one can afford to get anything done.
It's going
to
be
you
bad.
Know, like, oh, yeah.
All the kids nowadays have no interest in doing any type of, like, physical work.
Yeah.
And they all think they're just going to go to college and spend $200,000 in student loans and then they're going to come out and they're going to have a job waiting for them. It's like there's not enough of those jobs, and there's plenty of like jobs
out.
In the trades. What's that?
I said, why'd you have to single my kid out?
I mean, poor Max. I don't know.
Don't worry, Max. We love you.
Most fathers tell him on the way, you know, no drinking, no drugs. I'm like, listen, after the first semester, if you feel you don't want to stay here anymore,
yeah,
just come home. There's no shame. There's no shame.
Funny.
Work with your hands.
You're so funny. Fucking love it.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah,
like
I don't know anybody. Like actually, one. You know, it's funny you said that. So one of my son's friends, he's going to community college, but now he doesn't think he's going to, and he's working at a restaurant, but he wants to go to school, become a plumber. And one
you
of
make
my
a
good
lot
friends
of money
is
as a
like,
plumber.
Dude, one of my buddies, he's like
job.
The bigwig of the plumbers union, and he runs a whole. He's the one that had I had the video of that Lincoln thing, that pipe thing that cuts the pipe a couple of years ago. I posted. He runs that. Like he's not, you know, doing people's toilets. Like they're doing sub assemblies in this warehouse in Boston that you know they pick up and they install them in pharmaceutical companies and shit like that. Like he's not going out. Like they do everything indoors, you know, and it's like a warehouse, like a factory type setting, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like saying to myself, I says, have him call me, and if he's interested, and I'll talk to the guy and see if I can get him in. Because the guy used to tell me if Max wants to do it, let me know. And you know, I'm saying to myself, they probably start him off like making decent money. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like it's like. And, you know, I'm, like, saying, geez, if the kid did it after 5 years, like, he'd probably be, you know, doing okay and whatever. It's, like, it's just crazy, though. But nobody wants to do that stuff anymore. It's just, I don't understand it, but
yep.
whatever.
There's,
I
like,
think
a whole
if
perception
I could,
that it's like, you're it's, like, below certain people. Like oh, I'm
yeah.
not going to
yep.
do that. Like, I want to be educated. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not
and
crucial. Good.
I mean, I literally would climb out of manholes in downtown Boston and guys in suits being like, oh, man, you got such a cool job. I wish I could do this and I wasn't in an office all day. Like, it's like, you know, the grass is always greener. Like, people think, like, oh, I want to work in an office and this. And then they get that type of job and they're like, you got to be shitting me. This is horrible.
Yep.
And then it's too late, you know. But it's, you know, I don't know. I find, you know, working with your hands rewarding, and I just, I don't know.
And it's, yeah, like, you probably have to be, to, you know, to be a real skilled, like, tradesman, you have to, most likely you're a lot smarter than most of the people working in offices. Because it's not, you have to be good at math, you have to be good, you know, design shit and plan things out. It's like, you know, most people graduating college with degrees couldn't do the shit I'm trying to do right now, you know, all the different things. Like, there's no way. Like, and they wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, and you have to have business sense, too. Like, if you own your own plumbing company, you can't just, you know, wing it. You know, I'm just going to charge $60 an hour and, you know, hope for the best. I mean, you got to know what the hell you're doing. You know?
Some people do that. I definitely know some guys that do that. They just have, like, an hourly rate.
That's what I did. And that's why I was never successful, because I just would charge by the hour, pay people by the day, and, you know, couldn't figure out why I couldn't make any money, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot more to that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
But. Well, I always used to joke about how, like, before I really – I think it was before I had, like, my business as a real business. Like, before when I was working out of the garage and I would, you know, do side jobs, or I would work as a handyman. Like, I didn't have to do it, really. I mean, you know, I didn't know what else to do. You know, like, I always worked a second job. But I always used to say that I was really good at making stuff and I wasn't so good at making money. And then once you have to pay a rent every month and it's just you and your name's on the lease, you have to become good at making money. You have to. Otherwise, you're dead, you know, like, and your life depends on your ability to make real income like you work a job. And I think a lot of my friends are where, you know, I think everyone that we know, we all start there, right? You become great at making stuff and then you somehow have to figure out a way for somebody to pay you an actual livable wage to do it. And that's the hardest, like, transition. But I think that, like, and Jimmy has said this before, like, you force yourself into the circumstance where you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't have a choice. Like, I don't have a choice. I have to make almost $3,000 a month just to keep my shop open. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to. So either I have to make it in the shop, welding, grinding, and making woodworking shit or whatever I'm doing, or I have to make it at my day job, and then I have to take it out of my bank account and put it towards the shop. Like, you have no choice.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, the quickest way to learn, the quickest way to that education is to force yourself into it. And obviously, it doesn't always work out, right? A lot of people, like, you know, and especially now, like, I see people, like, they buy, like, a CNC machine and they start a business and they lay themselves out with $20,000 or $30,000 in debt and then they go under. I mean, that's where I get most of my machines from, the guys that don't make it.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, if you do it in the right way, it's a real education that, like, you can't even put a price tag on. You know, it's crazy how valuable it is.
Yeah, well, that's what somebody that was just giving me a pep talk about it and about, you know, possibly one day leaving my job, and they're like, you know, they're like, dude, you gotta just do it and you'll figure out how to make the money. They're like, right now you don't have to, so you're not forcing yourself. So if you don't feel like doing something, you're not doing it. But, you know, when you are, you know, have to make that, you know, not every month, it's like you'll do it, you know. And it's you know, it's too easy to stay where I'm at now, but, you know, in time. You know, it's just, it's hot, but it's not as easy as people would think, that's for sure.
Oh, no, it's definitely not. I mean, and, you know, some people, like, you can step into it, and if you know, you get into a good niche, you can do really well. But there's so many factors that come along with, like, operating. And I think I've told you guys, like, I went to an auction once, and it was this huge lighting company that had, like, been on, like, one of these, like, a Modern Marvel show. Like, it was a huge, long-standing Long Island lighting company. It might have been on How It's Made, and I went to the auction. I bought a couple things, and they were offering to load a air compressor I bought into my truck with a forklift. And I was like, "Listen, like, I don't want to, like, pay rigger, like." And the guy was like, "No, it's my forklift." He's like, "This was my business." And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "All right, well, like, I still don't want you to load it with a forklift because I'll never get it out, you know, like, I have that." I have the thing about, like, loading with a forklift when you don't have one. So he's like, all right, like, fine. And I was like, oh, well, you know, let me ask you, like, what happened? And he's like, dude, we took one LED job and it went bad. It was supposed to take 1 year. And by the third year, we had lost so much money that we couldn't recover. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what was that job worth? $10 million, whatever it was, that they tried to stretch it out because they couldn't get it done in a year. They couldn't get it done in 2 years. And by the third year, it closed their business.
Yeah.
And this company had, you know, millions of dollars worth of shit. They had their own powder coating department. They had their own water jet department. They had their own CNC machine shop. They had racks and racks of inventory. I mean, so much stuff in probably 35,000 square feet. And it all went for, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. The water jet went for $7,000. I remember that because I was like, holy shit, $7,000 is what I paid for my Wazer or whatever it was. And it was, like, you know, like a full-size water jet.
Yeah.
That's why,
but,
I
you know,
like,
it doesn't take that much.
You kind of want to make money with your business and then put it into other things.
Yeah,
like, you don't want
to not
just
into back into your own business
into the like every single penny into the business because
it could always
like, you never know what could happen. Like, even if you're a great businessman, you never know. Like, you got to be like, you got to diversify into other things.
My neighbor was a perfect example. He started. His father was an immigrant. He started working. It was at a produce shop. Like, they, like, handled produce and, like, they were, like, a distributor or something. But they were, like, for sub shops and stuff like that. Did a couple million in sales. And he worked there when he went through college. And his father's like, oh, come work here, you know, in the offices and stuff. And the guy that owned the business inherited it and really didn't want it. So this kid made it from a $2 million a year business to making, like, $30 million a year.
Wow.
Doing, like, $30 million a year in business. And, you know, tons of truck drivers and everything. And I remember him telling me he used to have to make $75,000 a day just to keep the doors open. Everything was going great. And you would buy, I don't understand, like, business, but, like, he was buying, like, all, everything in futures because, like, you know, to, you know, save money, you would have to, you know, and all this stuff. So he had bought, like, cabbage. I'll never forget, like, cabbage and lettuce and you know, bought it all. And then 9/11 came, and all the hotels closed. Everybody stopped traveling, everything. The kid lost everything. And he ended up saving it. He had so much money saved, he was, like, bankrolling the company. But he wasn't investing into the pension fund, and he ended up getting sued. And he lost the case, and he had to sell the house next door.
Wow.
Lost everything. And, you know, I just talked to him. I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years. And, you know, we just talked about it actually while I was filming the show. And, he, you know, he's happy. He's doing okay for himself. And, you know, his life's good. But, like, he lost everything. And it was just, it was sad to see. And, you know, he made this small company into this big successful company. But, you know, he... I just remember him telling me, he's like, fucking cabbage. He goes, it killed me, you know, and I never understood, like, how that shit worked. But, like, you know, he was, you know, banking on trying to make, like, more money and all this shit. But it just, it's, you know, complex. But it just, you know, he had a lot of people working for him. And, you know, there's a lot of people that had worked for this company for, like, 30 years. And they, you know, were gone. So it just, it sucked for a lot of people. But, you know, just something like that. He never saw that coming, you know. Just like COVID. I mean, COVID was great for some businesses, but it destroyed a lot of other businesses, you know.
Yeah.
Who ever would have known?
Yeah.
You know, like, how many people would have laughed, you know, 2 years ago? Like, I mean, you getting married and saying, you know, in your contract, make sure there's a clause in there for pandemic insurance.
Yeah.
Some people were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
They got the bubonic plague or something.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it would have been laughable.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, no brainer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It's just funny
it's
how
crazy.
Life changes. You know? Oops. Nope. Sorry, Jeff.
Speaking of Jeff, we need to have him on.
Really?
Because he was texting me saying I blew him off because I asked him to come on.
Didn't he want to be accommodated at special hours? Didn't he want, like, seniors hours or something like that?
Well, it was
he gets the blue plate special.
It was a very specific time. Which I don't blame him, because that's normally how I would do things. But, you know, we do things a little different around here.
We do things different. Listen, we have a rolling schedule. We have a rolling schedule.
We have Jeff on here, and we call him up. Jeff, we're going to have to do it tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, he'd like,
I'm doing it today by myself. Jeff Fade, a single track on the Handmade Podcast.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh my god, it's so funny.
We'll see if we can squeeze them in. You know, it's funny you said that because I was thinking of that. Remember, we were going to have on a guest every once in a while. Then we had one guest, and he got up and walked away during the middle of the show.
Yeah,
so he
never
did.
Had another guest on.
I remember that.
We got burnt so bad by our first and only guest, we never had another one.
Yeah, he really. He vanished on us.
Maybe Paul could call up Jeff, and he could work that out for us. Paul could be a spokesperson.
We'll try. We just need to be able to do the time he's available.
Yeah.
I could figure out, you know,
my schedule is the most fucked up because I have so many million things going on, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Every week there's something wrong. But anyway, what have you guys been watching?
Shit going on.
Uh-oh.
I know. I got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
What have you guys been watching? Give me something good.
You know what? I was watching something good. Let me think. Let me look back at my history.
I should talk about... I don't have anything good for what I'm watching, but I should talk about the band I went and saw.
Who'd you say?
Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, I've heard their songs. They're good. They're like the Led Zeppelin. Like the new Led Zeppelin.
It's just like Led Zeppelin. Like, some of their songs are like almost the same.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah, I would imagine they're great in concert.
It was a great show. It was really, really entertaining. They sounded awesome. Like, I've been listening to all their songs now. Like, I just heard of them because my friend called me up. He's like, you want to go to a Greta Van Fleet concert? I'm like, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And I looked them up. I'm like, wow, these guys are pretty good. And then I saw it in person, and they blew me away. Like, they've got
they're
great
fantastic.
Songs. They're like 22 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally like a 70s rock band. Like
growing up, I loved Led Zeppelin, that Pink Floyd, so I will definitely give that a listen.
You got to listen
to
them.
Yeah,
they're good. All right.
There's videos of the guys from Led Zeppelin listening to them being like, holy shit.
Like, there's two songs that are kind of like so close to Led Zeppelin. It's like, huh, they kind of like copied them a little bit. But then all their other songs are a little different. And, you know, they're the guy who, the lead singer is like, got a crazy voice. He sounds just like Robert Plant. But they're three brothers,
they're good.
And then, like, their friend is the drummer. It's just four of them. And they are super talented.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet. Check them out.
You know who I've been watching?
Who you been watching?
And it's just been crazy. Stumpy Nubs Woodworking.
Oh my god.
And it's so crazy. So I'm going to be straight. I never watched Stumpy Nubs. I never liked Stumpy Nubs. And I was talking to Chris Burton. And he was telling me, he goes,
I never liked you.
No. He's telling me, he goes, my channel kind of exploded last week. He goes, Stumpy Nubs mentioned me in one of his videos. And he's like, he really didn't need to, and blah, 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 going on. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I like that dude. I said, I know that dude, but I was like, I just don't like his videos, like the style, they're too set up and everything. So I says, let me see what he's talking about. So I put it on, and I put on the wrong video, and he was talking about the type of camera he used. And I was like, oh, wow, that was pretty interesting. You know, he went through the reasons why he upgraded his cameras. So then he talked about, like, this other thing. And before I know it, I watched, like, 15 of his videos, right, Stumpy Nubs. And I was like, this fucking dude, like, he's, like, hardcore. Like, he puts a lot of work in. Like, it's a full-on production.
Don't sleep on
like,
Stumpy Nubs.
He explained one of the videos. Yeah, well, he got the name because he said when he started, he's been doing it for, like, 10 years, and everybody had a name, and he thought just Stumpy Nubs would be funny, like a woodworker that like had his finger cut off. And he explains this before his accident, so he's like, I've never had any accidents, I get all my fingers, you know. But it was just funny, and I was like, wow, this guy's really like, he really like, it's like his whole family's involved. He's got like a half brother that's like special needs, like, and he's in some of the videos, and I was like, wow, it's a lot. He's got a lot going on, that dude.
Full-time job.
Oh, yeah, but it's, like, really, like, professional, like, what he's got, you know, he's got, like...
Yeah, he's got, like, a Facebook group. He does the whole thing.
He's involved. Yeah. Like, that's his life. Yeah. Like, and it was just kind of cool to see, and I was just kind of surprised at myself because I just don't like those type videos, and I liked it.
You know what's funny? I've watched some of his videos. I hate his fucking avatar. His little picture.
Yeah, that, dude, that's what it is. That's
I
why
hate
I couldn't
it.
Do it. I hate
it.
This
guy up.
Dude,
I hate
it. I
remember watching his videos
those little things.
It's this like shitty cartoon. And like, you know, if
the
he's listening to this,
videos,
I'm
has.
Sorry.
Yeah,
but
same
your videos are great, but I hate your avatar. If we met in person, I'd tell you to your face.
Yeah, no, honestly, that's what it was for me too. I don't like when people have like those cartoon things. Like it just really turns me off. And you know, even on their thumbnails and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's what it was like. All his videos, it started off with like a spinning saw blade with like cartoon sawdust coming out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's just too much for me. It's like I just want to see what you're working on.
Yeah.
But it's just really cool. Like he has like a video where he explains like woodworking, and then like he throws in clips of like projects they're working on the shop that they're selling plans on in his biz. Like he's fucking got it all going on, that dude.
Yeah.
It's he's got you coming and going, but it was just pretty cool to see. But yeah, that's what I didn't like about his stuff either. Just all those little cartoon things and too much.
I think I have his book.
Yeah, his books, he's got a blog, a website. Yeah. He does all the shit that, like, I feel like he does all the stuff everyone did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But, like, no one does anymore.
He's still doing it. He's the one guy
but
doing it still.
Yeah. Like, he's got, like, his website with his project plans. And, no one's doing that.
Apparently,
no one's doing
he
that.
He sends out a paper newsletter still.
He might.
But, no, it just...
But, yeah, no, he does good shit.
Get past the
cartoons. Check out Snoopy Ups. Okay. All right. Well, nobody mentioned it, so I'm going to have to talk about my boy Whistling Diesel.
Dude, it's so funny.
Oh, shit. I did watch that.
I was going to start off and say the pick of the week is Whistling Diesel. You have to watch it. Just go on from that.
It's
dude,
absolutely
fucking crazy.
Absurd.
Fucking crazy.
The engineering and the work that went into this vehicle is so ridiculous.
And he's going to destroy it?
Yeah. It's. He couldn't destroy it.
He's going to try to,
but I don't think he could destroy it like under, I don't know what he could do. Cause his last one, this is so much heavier duty than his last one. Like I can't imagine what he can't like pull or drive over. I mean, the thing is so unbelievable. He had to spend $750,000 on this thing. He had to.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Cause the tires alone have to be like, I mean, those are like agriculture tires. They're the largest agriculture tire that you can buy. They got to be like $35,000-$40,000 each, I would think.
Did you watch
I mean, just think about
video?
The rubber. Yes. Yeah. With the horn
felt,
and he goes through the drivetrain.
Dude, I felt so bad the fucking end when he's like the fucking tow truck driver took a picture of it and posted it. He's like, I gotta edit this fucking video and release it early. Did you see that part?
No, I didn't see that part. Very end?
A fucking tow truck driver drove by, took a picture of the truck, and posted it online. So he literally is racing home. And he's like, that motherfucker wasn't supposed to be out till next week. He goes, I gotta edit this and put it out tonight so this guy doesn't ruin my surprise.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine that. I felt bad, you know, all that bullshit that, you know, a kid went through. But, dude, but unbelievable. I meant to call you the other day. I watched it. I was like, fucking nuts.
It's so crazy.
Just amazing.
He was bringing it to the Farm Progress show, like a farming and agriculture show in Illinois. That was where he was bringing it to. And I guess just because, like, people are interested in that, I don't know. It's not a truck show. But, I mean, it's just insane. It's the biggest pickup truck.
How about the
truck.
Cop? The fuck?
Yes, yes.
I was watching, dude, yeah. Did the cop pull him over to tell me he's a huge fan of the show or something?
He probably recognized his car, right? I mean, if you saw that car, like...
Yeah, just crazy.
You know, the dark green R8 with the titanium exhaust.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, you know what? And, like, good for him. Like, that video was number one on trending a couple days ago.
Oh, really?
Like the number one trending video on YouTube.
Nice.
But now how's he making money? Is he getting
now? It's number 16.
Like, does he run ads?
Yeah.
In those videos?
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
I think he does. He bleeps out the curses.
Yeah.
And he sells. He must sell a ton of merch.
Yeah.
He must sell an absolute ton of merch.
Yeah.
Because that sticker, the this truck means nothing to me. He has to have sold like hundreds of thousands of those stickers.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Plus, dude, his videos, I looked at his channel the other day just because I was interested. I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, you know, like, how much could he really be making? Because, I mean, he's got a couple $1 million. He just bought a huge farm. You know, like, he's got a couple $1 million worth of cars.
Anyways, I mean, yeah, before any
yeah, those
I mean,
farmers.
They had some heavy-duty farm equipment going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, like, to burn money the way he burns it on, like, the Hellcat yeah. and the trucks and all that other bullshit, he, some of his videos, like, you know, 18, 20 million, 10 million, like, he's got a bunch of videos that he's probably making, like, serious AdSense on every month. He's probably making 25, 35, if not more, a month just in that, you know? So
it
if he's got that going,
mind
and...
that, like, people just don't get his shtick though. It's
yeah,
like,
well, I
know.
Yeah,
it's just, it's like, how can people be so stupid?
People are fucking stupid. That's what it is. People
it's
are stupid.
Like, he's so funny though. He's just such a fucking dope.
It's hysterical.
The
I love
the horn.
The horn is unbelievable.
Dude, I would just love to hear that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Good for him. I would love to meet this dude one day. I'd love to build something for him. That would be... I'd love to do a project that, like, he's got his head behind, because just, like, I feel like, you know, and there's obviously a lot of other people that have these crazy thoughts, but, like, for him to be able to tell these guys, right? Like, the guys that built this truck don't build shit like this. You know, like, they build big implements.
The building.
Yeah, they put in a new garage door so that they could get the truck out. But, like, you know, he found guys that he thought were capable and just... said, yeah, I'll give you enough money to do what needs to be done. You know, like, that's a dream for somebody that wants to fabricate, like, wild shit.
And I was thinking that, too. Like, he had to throw so much money at them. Like, they just went full bore on this thing.
Yeah.
And,
like, stop like, doing everything else.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a lot of time and money invested in that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they did a beautiful job on it.
Yeah,
it's
really
unbelievable.
Did.
Yeah, it's crazy. Was it, like, 75 spools of welding wire or something like that? Or it's like over 1,000 pounds of MIG wire on the whole thing.
It's crazy.
Wow. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Good for him. Shout out to Whistling Diesel.
55-gallon drum of oil in the drop box.
Yeah, I love it.
55 gallons of oil.
Yep.
he'll do something funny with
this.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, he already, like, his last one, I watched the video when they were talking about building this one, and he talked about why they had to do the Dropbox the way they did it. And he showed, like, a compilation of him blowing his drivetrain or his Dropbox in, like, six other trucks, like pulling seven other trucks or, you know, trying to pull that guy Demolition Matt's tank, you know, like doing all these crazy different things that, like, tortured his other vehicles. And then eventually, like, getting to this point where he's got no choice but to, you know, build it so big. But, like, what is... I don't even know what he does from here, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
Count his money.
Can't wait to see it, right? I know. That new property he bought is unbelievable. I mean, it's, like, it's so cool. Mm. Good for him.
Yeah.
So anyway... But I got a meeting, so I got to get to the shop and get to work.
All right.
And, yeah.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Check us out on Patreon, handmadepodcast.patreon.net, and myspace.com/ Derek from Alden.
First one that goes on mine will get a special prize this month.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. That's it. See you guys later.
Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.